Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações e Investimento S.A.'s financial results for the third quarter of 2020. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Daniela Maia, Investor Relations Manager of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Maia. Please go ahead, madam.
Okay, Beatriz, thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining our third quarter earnings call for Prumo Par. Before we begin, just for your information, Eugênio is the CEO and CFO of Prumo Participações, won't be able to join us today due to a last-minute meeting that he had to attend, so we apologize for this. Before we move to the third quarter financial figures, just to give you an update about the COVID status here in Brazil. So Ferroport hasn't been impacted at all for the pandemic. We have been succeeding on keeping the terminal open and running. And we have been following the safety measures for the disease at all of our premises, such as social distancing, face masking, and hand washing protocols. So the administrative staff of Ferroport, together with all the administrative staff of Prumo Group, is working from home office since March this year. So having said that, now let's go through the highlights of our earnings results. And after that, I will open the line for the Q&A session. So from an operation perspective, on the third quarter this year, Ferroport handled around 4.9 million tons of iron ore, which represents a decrease of 17% year-over-year and 25% compared with the second quarter this year. So the main reason for this is that during September, Anglo had to run a scheduled pipe inspection and cleaning on the pipeline. So just for information, pig inspection, pig is means pipe inspection gauge. So of course this has no impact on the take or pay payment, but it has an impact on the volumes that was handled by Ferroport. Now, moving to the financial side, let's start with Ferroport. So if you want to follow my explanation, please move to the table at page number four of the release. So Ferroport gross revenue was around 260 million BRL, which represents a growth of around 25% year-over-year. The revenue is composed by 251 million BRL coming from the iron ore take or pay paid by Anglo, and around 7 million BRL from the port access fees paid by the TOIL terminal that is a sister company of Ferroport. When we talk about growth, the growth of the iron ore revenue was 32% year-over-year, and it happened because of the U.S. appreciation against the BRL. Just for you to have an idea of the size of it. The average on the third quarter last year was around 3.94 BRL per USD, and now on the third quarter this year you have something around 5.35. So it was roughly a 35% appreciation of the USD against the BRL. So it helped us to compensate a decrease of around 1.6% on the take-or-pay tariff due to a negative variation of the PPI. If you look to the net revenue of the quarter, it increased 25% year-over-year to a total of 229 million BRL. If we look at the first 9 months of the year, net revenues was 663 BRL. That means an increase of around 28% if compared to the same period of the last year. The performance of the iron ore revenue also compensated decrease of the port taxes revenues that happened because of the discounts of tariff granted to US Petroleum. This topic was something that we have already mentioned on our previous calls. Now, moving to the cost side of the numbers, the cost of services of Ferroposto, which comprise basically what we know as OPEX, it increased 75% year over year to an amount of 70 million BRL. The main reason for that is that we had a maintenance dredging expense that should occur every other year. And on this quarter alone, it totaled around 27 million BRL. If you look at the financial statements of Ferroport that are already available at our website, if you go on note number 17, you will see that these numbers account as third-party services. So just for your clarification here. It's also important to highlight that if you look at the offering memorandum that we prepared for the launching of the bonds last year, you see that independent engineer they consider this as a staying business capex. But in fact, Ferroport, together with KPMG, its external auditor, they consider this to be a OPEX instead of a capex. So it's important to have that in mind. On the line operating expenses, we basically have G&A and other operating expenses. So this account decreased 2.4 million BRL year over year. On the positive side, G&A was reduced mainly because to legal and judicial expenses that occurred back in 2019. It was related to the arbitration proceeds between Ferroport and Anglo, but it was, of course, not repeated in 2020. And on the negative side, when we look at the other operating income, we have a lower income of the net sales of consumed electric energy that was caused by the reduction of the price of the energy sold here at the spot market in Brazil. As a result of those numbers that I have just presented, Ferroport EBITDA grew 14% compared to the same period last year, so 66 million, and the EBITDA margin decreased around 730 base points to 72.8%. And you can check that on the chart on the page number 5 of the release. Now, if we move to the line below the EBITDA, we have a financial loss of 15.6 million BRL, which represents a very relevant decrease of 45% year over year. The reason for that was a reduction in the IC loan and the company loan balance outstanding. On Ferroperto against its shareholders, and also a reduction on the CDI, that is basically like a Brazilian LIBOR, it's interbank lending rate here in Brazil, and it's also the base rate for Ferroporto intercompany debt. On the bottom line, the net revenue was around 90 million BRL, growth of almost 30% on a year-over-year basis. Now, looking at Ferroport from a cash flow perspective, on page number six, on page number five, sorry, we would like to emphasize just the CapEx figures. They've spent 20.7 million BRL in the third quarter, and the main expenditures that was non-recurring, they were related to the repowering of the piling system. It was something around 14 million reais, and the painting and corrosion repairing of the structures, that was about 1.7 million reais. Other than that, we have just the regular staying business capex, such as environmental compensation and spare part, just to give you all an example. In the third quarter, Ferroport distributed to Promupar and Anglo something around 142 million BRL as intercompany loan payment, out of which 67 million BRL was principal. And we can see that on the cash flow from financing activities, and 75 million BRL was interest that is accounted on the cash flow from operating activities. By the end of the day, Prumpar received around 70 million BRL net of taxes coming from the intercompany loan payment. Moving to page number six, quick figures just about Ferroporto liquidity here. The consolidated cash and securities on September 3rd this year were around 161 million, an increase of almost 60 million BRL compared to the end of June. And the intercompany debt on the same date, September 30, 2020, was 660 million BRL, out of which 353 million were related to the Prumpar loan alone. So those are the highlights about Ferroporte. Now regarding Prumo Participações results, we start talking about the income statement at page number seven. If we see the numbers in BRL, we will see that the net financial loss increased 20 million reais year over year. If you due to a more negative net exchange variation loan, and also interest on loan, so both of them because of the BRL depreciation, as we have already mentioned. And we also have a decrease in the loan interest related to the IC loan received from Ferroport, something that we have already mentioned here. Equity accounted investees increased around 10 million BRL over a year due to better results of Ferroport. And on the bottom line, the net loss for the period was around 23 million BRL. If we move to page number eight, we are showing cash flow figures from Prumpar. Here, I just think it's important to mention that on the third Q, we have received 7 million BRL from Ferroport regarding interest and amortization of the intercompany loan. Moving to page number nine, quick figures about Prumo Participações liquidity. So on September 3rd, 2020, Prumpar cash and cash equivalent were 104 million reais. Besides that, we have the debt service reserve account that is basically it's an escrow account that is under deposit 6 months of debt service of the bonds. It's constituted in US dollars, and the sum right now, the sum of, on the by the end of September was around 13 million US dollars. Prumpar, its debt increased in reais if we compare to June. But part of it is due to BRL depreciation. We have to remember that we are seeing the financials in reais. So if you compare the number in USD, we also have an increase of 5.9 million USD to 317.7 million US due to the accrued interest that is counting since the end of June, and that will pay by the end of December this year. So those were the main takeaways from the 30Q earnings release, and we can now move to the Q&A section. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press the star key followed by one on your touch-tone phone now. Our first question comes from Thilmo Schroders.
Hello. Actually, and firstly, what do you expect in terms of dividends quarter of the year? And then, secondly, if you can provide for 2021 on the relevant aspects of Ferroport's operations as well as.
Well, hi to you. Thanks for your questions. We usually don't give any disclosure about future estimates, about the numbers. If we look at the numbers for the end of this year, what we can say is that we expect to pay the target amortization, not only the legal. So numbers for the end of this year, December 31st, we have around 11.7 million US that we have to pay in interest. And we also have the target amortization of around 5.6 million US. We definitely expect to be paying those numbers. We don't have, we'll probably don't have any extraordinary event that can impact the figures on the fourth quarter, especially because the dredging, the maintenance dredging, that was the most important financial operating expense that we have this year. It's already over. So on a financial perspective, we won't have this this expense waiting on the cash flow flowing to Prum Participações. Moving to your second question about the performance on 2021, we know that when we look at the at Anglo American's website, we can see that they expect a slight ramp up on the volume of iron ore to be handled on the next year. It's something around 25 million tons of iron ore. Of course, when the amount of iron ore increases, the amount that Ferroport has to handle, when it increases, of course, the operating result is a little bit worse than if not, of course, because we have especially costs with energy. So we understand that we will have an impact coming from this. And we also know that because we have just concluded our maintenance dredging, it was successfully concluded, we won't have this expense for the next year. So this is something that may increase a little bit the cash flow if compared to the one that we have in 2020.
Excellent, thank you. When do you think do we have your next maintenance of this kind?
Yeah, it's expected to happen every other year. So probably we'll talk about that again in 2022.
Okay, great. Then another question I have is regarding Açu Petróleo. I saw they filed for an IPO. How is that going to impact you? Yeah. You're selling shareholder at Prumo, right? So
yeah, sure.
Is there any inflow expected? And if so, how are you going to use it?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So right now we are at a quiet period here in Brazil because of the IPO. I cannot disclose too much information about Açu Petróleo. But what we can say, because it's already on the prospects of the IPO, is that Prumo expects to keep the majority shareholder on Açu Petróleo. So because of that, we do not envision any big difference from a Ferroport perspective regarding its relationship with Açu Petróleo.
Okay, but have you disclosed what you're going to do with the proceeds of your partial sale?
Yeah, it's in the offering memo, the prospects of the IPO.
Okay, thank you.
We can share that with you after the call if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be helpful because I would have to reach out to a couple of people to get the equity.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Sure, great.
Our next question comes from Thomas Lehman, Barings.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my questions. So I have a few quick ones. So I just wanted to reconfirm that after the pigging inspection from the pipeline, everything went okay, and I mean, no failures were found. The second question is regarding volumes in the third quarter, sorry, in the fourth quarter. I mean, can you just provide a guidance or color on how have the volumes been in the fourth quarter? And the third question is regarding the revenues in at Ferroport level. So I just wanted to understand why is the BRL depreciated by 35%, the revenues only increased by 25%? Thanks.
Okay. So first, talking about pig inspection, Ferroport has not been notified from Anglo about any problem on the pig inspection. Of course, they do not receive their report. It's something private from Anglo, but they haven't reported any kind of problem on this pig inspection. And after it was over, they have resumed operations normally. So we understand that everything is fine. We cannot give any kind of disclosure about the volumes on the fourth quarter, especially because we do not receive those kinds of estimates from Anglo. What we have seen in the past, but of course it doesn't necessarily represent the reality, is that sometimes when they have a stop in the pipeline, they can keep operating the mine and they build stock. And after these idle moments, they start increasing a little bit the volume to use what they have as production on their stockyard back in the mine. It's not necessarily true for the fourth quarter, but it's something that you can definitely check. On your last question, could you please repeat it?
Yes. So you mentioned that the BRL depreciated by 35% third quarter 2020 versus third quarter 2019, but the revenues only increased by 25%. So just wonder why. What's the reason? Is it because of the oil revenues? Is it because of the 1.6% decrease in the PPI? But I mean, it seems large compared to the other factors, the difference.
No, that's a pretty good question. In fact, yes, we have a impact on regarding the PPI, the decrease in PPI. But the main difference about one thing and the other is that when I mentioned the numbers about the BRL depreciation of 35%, this is an average, as we have absolutely high volatility. Here in Brazil, on the effects over on this on those months, it was not exactly the same in each part of the month. So what happened is that by the time that Ferroport has to print its invoice, that is basically on the first date of each month. By coincidence, of course, the BRL was in a less favored a better favored number regarding the USD. So the 35% was not completely absorbed by Ferroport.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ruben Weislogel, J.P. Morgan Asset Management.
Thank you for the call and for taking my questions. Just a couple of quick ones. The first is just on any strategic guidance you can provide on what we can expect for oil transshipments going forward. Obviously, you're not providing guidance on volumes, but just what should we think about that from a contribution perspective going forward? And then the second question just has to do with FX exposure on the back of the last question. Is there a level or is there a particular BRL volatility regime under which you would try to hedge some of that exposure, or you have the same exposure now and in the future as you have in the past? Thank you.
Hi, Herbert. Thanks for the question. Well, on the oil transshipment, of course, it's very difficult for us to say here, especially because of the quiet period that I have already mentioned, and the fact that Aspetróleo is on the market right now, talking about an IPO. What we can say is that is on the same direction of what we have discussed during the roadshow last year. Is that we see this as a we see those transshipment operations as a huge interesting upside because we can be exposed to the pre-salt increasing volumes in Brazil, especially related to the exportation of those volumes. So a nice way to be exposed to that growth factor without having to be concerned about pricing of oil here in the international market. So another thing that is public in the preliminary prospects of the IPO is that one of the things that Aspetróleo may be aiming to do its expansion of its facilities, and the expansion will is focused on a tankage facility on shore. It will give the company the ability to store oil and not only do ship by ship operations, right? And this is important to Ferroport because one main reason is we have four different port access tariffs. From those four port access, we have just been receiving three of those four. There is one last one that Ferroport has never received before. It's related to any volumes of products such as oil that can go through the 3 kilometers bridge. So every time Aspetróleo wants to transport oil through the bridge, it will have to pay port taxes fees to Ferroport, and in the case they decide to move on with this tankage expansion, of course they will have to build pipelines over the 3 kilometer bridge, and that pipeline will probably the volumes that will be going through the pipelines will represent a new revenue for Ferroport. And regarding your second question, right, is about BRL hedge. Yes, we do perform hedge operations but not at Ferroport level. So this is one thing that is important to mention. So not at Ferroport level, but at Prumupar level. We basically hedge we keep the intercompany loans that we received from Ferroport in BRL, in a BRL account here in Brazil, but we hedge all that amount to US dollars. So by the end of the semester, when we have to pay the bondholders, we won't face any significant variation on the volume that is on deposit.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Our next question comes from Chris DeCario, Marathon Asset Management.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. All my questions have been asked, actually, but I did want to just go back for a second to the answer you gave, which I didn't quite hear well, that when if, you know, given that Anglo American expects an increase in volumes of iron ore in 2021, what were the direct effects that we could expect on Ferroport and Prumo?
Hi, Chris. Sure. Thanks for the question. So the impact is basically related to the energy expenses. So If we, of course, if we have a bigger amount of iron ore being handled at the terminal, we will have to perform more work. We have to do more movements. Let me put it this way, with all our machinery over there, like the stackers and the reclaimers and the conveyor belts. And it's the result of that is an increase on the energy expense. So usually when we increase the volume being handled at the terminal, given that we have a take or pay, so the revenue has no effect at all, we have a decrease in the margins because we have an increase in the costs. So that's the relationship.
So the expected increase in cash flow next year coming from not having the dredging expense is somewhat offset by potentially higher energy costs from the increase in iron ore volumes.
Yes, that's correct. Of course, we have one huge thing that is out of our hands, that is the FX variation, because we know that we are on the positive side of this equation. So we have our revenues in U.S. dollars and our expenses in reais, but of course this is something that is completely out of our hands.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mrs. Daniela Maia to proceed with her closing statement. Please go ahead, Ms.
Okay, well, I would like to thank you all for attending our call today. If you need additional information about our company, you can go to our IR website. It's promologistica.com.br/investors. Many thanks to everyone.
That does conclude Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A.'s financial results for the third quarter of 2020 audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.